Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Founders Grid, sponsored by Caper.io. Today we have Josue from the Privacy Corp. Josue, welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me.
Things are good, thank you. So give us a brief background about yourself prior to joining the Privacy Corp.
Sure. So I've been kind of in the content marketing space for a pretty long time. Started at NewsCred, which was a B2B SaaS company directly in the content marketing space. So I kind of jumped into that area pretty early on, especially I think around 8-9 years ago, content marketing was still pretty new as a subject area. Not every company was bought into it yet. Now it's common. Now it's like normal in marketing, but it wasn't at that time. And then I then moved on to Security Scorecard, where I basically led the content marketing team on my own. And again, B2B SaaS, cybersecurity, which was a pretty new industry for me. And then went to Trustpilot, where things got much, much bigger. Trustpilot is a much larger global company. I was leading the global department for content there. You know, managing people in the UK, you know, making sure Australia was all set, rest of the world, Asia Pacific, kind of all of these different territories. And then I then moved on to the B2C space. So rather than just being B2B, I wanted to take a stab at, you know, some more consumer marketing. So I moved on to Capital, which is a savings and finance app. And then I landed here at the Privacy Co, where this is kind of like the newest company I've been in. I was essentially the third hire about a year and a half back. I've kind of come a long way from there.
Nice, nice, interesting journey. So how's the experience so far at the Privacy Co? And can you tell us a bit more about your role at the Privacy Co?
Sure. So the Privacy Co really started as a stealth company just because I started when it was very early on. What we were building was an app for consumer privacy, for online privacy. You know, we hear all around the news, like Facebook is taking your data, you know, Instagram is taking your data. Like people say, oh, they're listening to me. They're giving me all these ads. There was that Cambridge Analytica fallout. All of that stuff really revolves around online privacy and data rights. And the Privacy Co is building an app to kind of address these concerns. Me personally, specifically, I was leading the social media and content marketing fronts. So when it comes to online privacy and security, reputation is really, really big. So we really focused on kind of building our reputation among the privacy and security experts on social media so that when we did eventually launch the app, which we did several months ago, you know, those experts wouldn't be like, oh, who is this? Can you trust them? Like maybe they're doing the thing they're warning you against. And we did a pretty good job of kind of really cementing ourselves among that peer group and among those experts. So we had some kind of clout there already. And then the other half of kind of my function was building out a bit of an online magazine called theprivacy.com. And there I did a lot of the writing for the website, and we posted, you know, news articles a couple times a week, kind of in-depth blog posts, deep dives, you know, anything about, you know, what browser you should use for privacy, you know, is online dating kind of safe if you're concerned about, you know, your location data getting out there, you know, things like that.
Got it. Makes sense. So just trying to make the conversation much more relevant towards recent times, right? The need for content, digital marketing has kind of like exponentially increased since COVID came. So have you felt the same pressure in that regard, and how you've been able to manage your team more efficiently?
I think a little bit. It's I think we were doing the COVID thing before COVID, to be honest. Our team was somewhat distributed. We had a very small WeWork in New York City, and it was pretty normal for people to either take the day from home or not necessarily come to the office all the time, just because, you know, we had engineers that weren't in-house. We were working with a lot of agencies. We were working with a lot of contractors. So kind of that distributed dynamic was already a little bit put into place. And then once COVID hit and, you know, remote work was a necessity, I think we adapted pretty well. And we, the way it works right now, we run primarily through Slack. We meet as often as we need to, but we try not to be extraneous about it. You know, we don't kind of overbook our schedules with meetings. You know, anything that can be done on Slack is done on Slack. And I think we've kind of eventually found a good way of working together, even though we haven't seen each other face to face in, you know, so long.
Got it. Makes sense. So, okay. So and you're based in New York, right? And since, if you look at the articles that have been coming out since July onwards, you know, in regards to mental health and the creativity and those kind of things. So have you felt that pressure in your teams, and how you've been able to manage that?
A little bit. I think with mental health especially, you know, during kind of the heyday and the most panic-inducing times during the pandemic, like you said, we were in New York City, and New York City got hit pretty hard, especially early on. And I think we didn't necessarily make it a point to address that, but in the way we would talk to each other, you know, it was done pretty supportively. So, you know, in addition to any Slack conversations, we would also have these phone calls or Zoom calls, and, you know, no matter what the topic was, the first thing we would start is by asking each other how we're doing and how we're coping. Because I think that we knew that that was the most important part, no matter what. You know, work is work, but, you know, in the middle of a pandemic, when there's so much uncertainty, when you don't know, you don't know what you don't know, especially kind of in the early months, like April, May, June, when it was really tough to be in New York City, especially personally speaking. Having that kind of check-in period whenever we would start a meeting or whenever we would start a phone call was really, really important, because I think it's not so much that there was a pressure, but it was an acknowledgement of, hey, these times require, you know, a more careful and nuanced approach. And I think something that's a little bit more humane than the business as usual approach that I think we're all used to.
So then what about creativity and everything? Do you think that is something which can be achieved online, or does that still require human interaction?
Yeah. Sorry. I forgot to get to that part of the question. I think it is a bit harder, definitely when it comes to things like brainstorming ideas. You know, on my side, on the content side, whether it's pitching ideas or, you know, finding new ways to engage our audience, that is a little bit tougher when you're only working remotely, because I think being in the same room as somebody and, you know, not just being on the computer, but, you know, maybe writing down sticky notes, you know, writing on a whiteboard, that and having a very engaging and active dialogue is much more conducive to being creative and finding new ideas compared to just typing away at Slack or, you know, Zooming each other. So there has been a bit of a tougher point there.
Got it. So, and what kind of like activities, sorry, my question are more towards remote, because at Caper we encourage remote working and, you know, practices that team use to be better and more productive. So my last question would be in regards to being the director of content and everything, what practices did you adapt on a daily basis with your team to take care of everything and make them more productive and stay productive yourself as well?
Yeah, I think checking in on kind of like a daily basis was really, really helpful. Overall, the Privacy Coast team is pretty small, but I know that those kinds of daily check-ins, one, makes it feel a little bit more like, you know, we're all still working together and we're all still kind of here in the same, you know, remote channel. So those daily check-ins, just to make sure everybody's taken care of and everybody's being listened to. Also kind of adhering to a schedule. So either, you know, every Wednesday or every Friday, you know, having more of a structured meeting where we're going over outstanding projects that are going to come in the near future, and then leaving some room for kind of open-ended exercises or open-ended kind of problems. And then I think on the kind of exercise side, I don't think there was too much that we were doing, just because one thing I learned while working remotely is that we don't necessarily have to be so overbearing, or we don't necessarily have to kind of make sure everybody is working. There's a bit of a trust aspect that I think is important. And I had heard from my colleagues in other companies, they were telling me like, oh, I'm working so much more now. You know, I have so many more meetings than I did before. And they were having much more of a tougher time working because they were putting in more hours and working even more, compounded with the fact that it didn't feel like an office or it didn't feel like a team as much. That made for a pretty tough environment. And I think at the Privacy Co., we were kind of doing the opposite of that on purpose, because we knew that everybody had their duties, everybody had their responsibilities, and we all kind of trusted each other that we would work on that and not necessarily kind of look over each other's shoulders, metaphorically speaking.
God. Jose, thank you so much for being on the show. I'm sure we could have talked for another 20 minutes, but my marketing team tells me I need to keep it within 12 minutes. Thank you so much for being on the show.
That's totally fine. Thank you so much.
And we're...